known as the Brandon Ayuk contract negotiation, is over. It has been confirmed. Brandon Ayuk has re-signed with the 49ers, 4 years worth up to $120 million. For those of you that care about APY, that is $30 million per year. The first I saw reported was Ian Rappaport, but again, it has been confirmed. Brandon Ayuk, you're not being duped this time. I know that you've been duped several times over the course of what might have been the weirdest contract negotiation ever. But Ayuk is now going to be back out at practice. He's going to have to wait until after Labor Day weekend. But he can say that he's a $30 million receiver. Ryan Williams, his agent, can say that he negotiated a $30 million per year contract for Brandon Ayuk. And the 49ers can move forward with their leading X-wide receiver heading into this monumental season where they obviously have Super Bowl aspirations. This is a huge win for the 49ers, it's a huge win for Brandon Ayuk, and we're going to see they got to the finish line of the contract, and it's a huge win, I want to emphasize, in the short term. Whether or not it's a huge win in the long term is going to depend on the actual numbers of the deal, the salary cap hits, the fully guaranteed money, and that's information that we do not have yet. But I will say that deadline pressure remains undefeated. Deadline pressure has gotten the George Kittle deal done, the Fred Warner deal done, the Deebo Samuel deal done, the Nick Bosa deal done, and now it's gotten the Brandon Ayuk deal done. And I think that the 49ers had leverage in this case. We saw them exert the leverage yesterday by saying that they expected Brandon Ayuk to be out at practice. When he wasn't out at practice, it was very clear that the 49ers were not going to be happy about that. And that's just based on how Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch spoke of the situation yesterday. It was clear that the 49ers were willing to move to disciplinary action if Brandon Ayuk's hold-in continued. And the day later, a deal has been signed worth up to $120 million over 4 seasons. It looks like it's going to be $76 million in total guaranteed money for Brandon Ayuk. This is from Mike Garofalo, who's done a great job throughout this entire saga. The 49ers and Brandon Ayuk have agreed on a 4-year, $120 million contract extension with $76 million in guarantees. So I'm going to, that's not fully guaranteed money. By the way, we're going to hear the total guarantees first. The fully guaranteed money is what's truly going to matter because that's what's most closely going to determine what the flow control of the cap hits of this contract are. There is a chance that the 49ers front-loaded this deal significantly. That they might even feel that that was advantageous for their larger salary cap situation. San Francisco's got about $16 million of space right now to work with. That is accounting for about a $14 million cap hit for Brandon Ayuk. So they could shoulder up to 25, 30 million of the cap hit this season, or they could reduce the cap hit this season based on a signing bonus and an option bonus structure that prorates the cap hit into the future. Either way, they had to thread a needle here. They had to figure out a way to pay Brandon Ayuk the money that he would agree to the year after they stretched the Nick Bosa negotiation all the way up until a couple days before the regular season. And they had to do it the season before Brock Purdy is going to have massive, massive leverage because he is a quarterback. So the 49ers had to fit the Ayuk negotiation in between those two, and now they have to fit the Trent Williams negotiation on top of that before the start of the regular season. If they can get Ayuk done and if they can get Trent Williams done by the next practice is Tuesday, then they're going to be sitting really pretty entering the season opener against the New York Jets on September 9th. So I'm going to receivers over the cap. I'm going to be sending out some tweets as this happens. I'm obviously going to be really busy here coming up over the course of the next several hours, but that's okay with me because I love bringing you the 49ers news. As far as total guaranteed money goes, $76 million matches Jaylen Waddle for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, number 6 in the NFL. Waddle had $76 million total guaranteed. Waddle had about $36 million fully guaranteed. So if it's the same ratio between total guaranteed and fully guaranteed money for Brandon Ayuk, the 49ers might have been able to land him in the 30 millions. I had predicted the high 30s, maybe the low 40s for Brandon Ayuk. We're going to have to look to see at what the final numbers are. Again, fully guaranteed money was what matters the most in terms of strength of contract. And it looks like, at least according to the total guaranteed numbers, which are reliant on injury guarantees and all that, that the full guarantees for Brandon Ayuk are probably going to be in the high 30s or low 40 millions. For perspective, the very top of the market is Justin Jefferson at 88.7 million fully guaranteed. CeeDee Lamb slotted in behind him at 67 million fully guaranteed. I mean, those are two massive contracts that really stretched the receiver market and I think made this Brandon Ayuk negotiation more difficult. That being said, once CeeDee Lamb signed his deal, and it wasn't anywhere near as big as Justin Jefferson's, especially in terms of that fully guaranteed money, I think it might have closed all parameter discussions regarding the Brandon Ayuk contract. And at that point, it was time to put up or shut up and get the deal signed. Brandon Ayuk, over the course of this hold-in, has been taking up a roster spot for the 49ers. First, a 90-man roster spot. And then on Tuesday, this is what really got the 49ers, it got their blood boiling. He started taking up a 53-man roster spot without practicing. And it was a very inefficient use of roster space for the 49ers. So the 49ers wanted something to get done sooner rather than later. That was obvious, and they really put their foot down on the accelerator. As we could tell yesterday, they were starting to apply true potential disciplinary pressure, and they were able to get the job done. Ayuk signed 4 years, $120 million. Details are coming in. This is from Ian Rappaport. Brandon Ayuk will receive $47 million between now and April 1st, 2025. Massive. So that to me, because right now it's August 29th, 2024, that to me sounds like there are $47 million in full guarantees in this deal, which would rank him. And, you know, remember when I predicted, when I made my Brandon Ayuk mock contract, I predicted high 40s, low 50s. As time went along, I said, well, yeah, maybe the 49ers don't want to go that high for Brandon Ayuk. But $47 million between now and April 1st, 2025 means that that fully guaranteed amount may actually be in the high 40s. The top number, again, in fully guaranteed money is Justin Jefferson at $88.7 million fully guaranteed. CeeDee Lamb at $67 million fully guaranteed. Tyreek Hill is number three at $54 million fully guaranteed. A.J. Brown, $51 million fully guaranteed. And then Calvin Ridley is at $46.98 million fully guaranteed. And it sounds like right now, Ian Rappaport, this is the tweet, Brandon Ayuk will receive $47 million between now and April 1st, 2025. Sounds like that's $47 million fully guaranteed. That's going to be my first tweet here. So it sounds like at least $47 million fully guaranteed for Brandon Ayuk, much of which the 49ers should be able to stretch out against the cap if it's delivered via bonus. And I'll go fully guaranteed rankings. Diana Rossini has a tweet right here. She says, this is, she works for us over at The Athletic. This was not a new deal for Brandon Ayuk. Nothing changed the last few weeks in terms of numbers. That's interesting. So that means that the deadline pressure that the 49ers applied worked. This is a key detail from Diana Rossini. Ayuk was not signing the deal. That was a big problem for the 49ers. He didn't sign the deal that they had offered him in late April. So there had been an impasse. There had been a stalemate. And the 49ers needed the stalemate to end. They couldn't afford to have Brandon Ayuk taking up a roster spot without practicing or without playing. And this is a team that's trying to win a Super Bowl. He's a really good receiver. They needed him out on the field. So the 49ers put some pressure on Ayuk yesterday, He didn't practice the last 2 days. They could have turned that into fines. Maybe they did fine him, but he now has enough money to pay those fines because he's going to receive $47 million between now and April 1st, 2025. But this, according to Diana Rossini, was not a new deal for Brandon Ayuk. Nothing changed the last few weeks in terms of numbers. In the end, Brandon Ayuk accepted the same deal that has been on the table since August 10th, per league sources. This is from Adam Schefter. So August 10th is, that's right around the time of the trade. That's right, or the trade rumors, the false trade reports. But around that time, obviously the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk came back to the negotiating table. The 49ers put their improved offer out there and they said, take it or leave it. This is it. And obviously, Brandon Ayuk finally took the offer 19 days after it was presented to him. All right, so we have to tweet away here. Go to Lombardi himself on Twitter so you could see it. But Jefferson, these are the fully guaranteed money rankings. Jefferson, $88.7 million. CeeDee Lamb, $67 million. Number three is Tyreek Hill at $54 million. Number four is A.J. Brown at $51 million. And number five is Ridley, Calvin Ridley, who we saw in Tennessee at $47 million. We got 3,000 of you watching live through my iPhone, which is streaming this. That's pretty damn cool. I know that this is probably a moment of huge relief for people who are getting extremely tired of hearing the constant no update every single day. Looking at the Adam Schefter tweet, in the end, Brandon Ayuk accepted the same deal that has been on the table since August 10th, per league sources. His holdin did not alter any part of the new four-year, $120 million extension. He took the same deal that had been there for the past 3 weeks. The holdin is over. So let's go back on our calendars and analyze exactly how this developed. August 10th was the day that the 49ers played the Tennessee Titans. So handshake and hug gate was on July 31st. Trade saga, at least publicly, was between July 31st and about August 9th, the day before the Tennessee Titans game. Around that time, it became clear that the 49ers were not going to trade Brandon Ayuk. So they put their final offer on the table at the end of that trade window on August 10th. Ever since then, it's been take it or leave it from the 49ers. Up until August 28th, they said, okay, fun and games are over. You're not holding in anymore. We are laying down the law. Discipline is coming. You are expected to be at practice. The next day, Brandon Ayuk caved. So I think that this is a masterclass in how to handle a tricky negotiation by the 49ers. As you can see, you have to get both parties to sign on the dotted line, and Brandon Ayuk ultimately signed on the dotted line. So I'm going to go through that. So here's the timeline. I'm tweeting the timeline right now. July 31st, handshake, hug gate. July, I think the trade stuff came out a couple days later. I would say probably around, might have been that Sunday, right? I would say August 4th to August 9th. Trade frenzy, rumor week. August 10th, final 49ers give Ayuk final offer. August 28th, 49ers threaten discipline to end hold-in, August 29th, 49ers, Ayuk, reach new contract. with the August 10th offer. Boom. SF's pressure got Ayuk to cave. Okay. And now Mike is probably sending me a little bit more. Those of you listening on the podcast, I'm going through some numbers right now. And Mike said he sent me one more thing. We said the hold-in did not alter the extension. Amon-Ra St. Brown's contract, by the way, this has been a reference point for a while because I think the 49ers and Amon-Ra St. And Brandon Ayuk were close to a deal in late April up until Amon-Ra St. Brown signed his contract, and I think that created some distance between the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk. Ultimately, I think San Francisco sweetened the pot around August 10th. That's the last time that they made an offer to Ayuk. But if we look at Amon-Ra St. Brown's contract, we can probably see some clues. It's $120 million, $30 million per year. That's exactly what Brandon Ayuk's APY has been. $77 million in total guarantees for Amon-Ra St. Brown, $76 million for Brandon Ayuk. And Amon-Ra St. Brown had $34.6 million fully guaranteed. The one difference here, though, is that, as we've seen from Adam Schefter, $47 million will come to Brandon Ayuk between now and April 1st, 2025. So that seems like it's a full guarantee, or at least really, really close to it. So this is a prediction that I made early on in the process, that the 49ers would get through. You know, they had to negotiate Bosa last year. They have the most highly paid players out of any team on their roster. They're going to have to negotiate Purdy next year. They're also negotiating Trent Williams right now. The one way for the 49ers to make this work would be to fork over a lot of guaranteed money, fully guaranteed money, through a signing bonus or a guaranteed option bonus, because NFL rules say that guaranteed money through a bonus is actually stretched out against the salary cap for up to 5 seasons. So say that you give a player a $40 million or $50 million signing bonus. Only $10 million of it counts against the cap in 2024. Another $10 million counts against the cap in 2025. It's like an accordion that you stretch out over time. So it makes sense that Ayuk's numbers are extremely similar to Amon-Ra St. Brown's, but the guaranteed amount is at least, according to what I've heard from Adam Schefter, $47 million paid out in immediate bonuses, because the 49ers will be able to stretch that out against the salary cap. So what we're seeing is salary cap gymnastics from the 49ers, and if they're truly able to soften the blow, and between now and April 1st, 2025, that tells me that they're giving Brandon Ayuk a very big signing bonus, and they're also giving him a very big option bonus that's going to be counted as a signing bonus for proration purposes. I think that they've made the player happy by giving him a lot of money up front, and they're also making their cap situation happy by stretching it out over multiple years down the road. So 4 years, $120 million, $76 million total guarantees, $47 million paid out by April 1st, 2025. I'm just filling in the blanks. I'm building a puzzle for you. That tells me that the full guarantees are massive, bigger than Amon-Ra St. Brown's. That tells you that the 49ers, who obviously own this stadium, Levi Stadium, have forked over a ton of money to make this work. So, I mean, you could never call Jed York cheap again. And, I mean, it's one of those things where the 49ers are the opposite of cheap. They've paid out more of these big contracts than any other team. But they forked over the money to allow them to stretch the cap hit out. Teams with the spending power and willingness to spend are able to, I don't want to say subvert the salary cap, but they're able to do the limbo underneath that salary cap pole for longer than other teams. And that's what the 49ers were able to do in this case. I have to send out another tweet. Brandon Ayuk's $47 million We'll put here the reported $47 million due to Brandon Ayuk before April 2025 suggests the 49ers were willing to pay a massive signing bonus and guaranteed option bonus to stretch Ayuk's salary cap hits out further into the future. Willingness to spend is how great, is how loaded rosters stay loaded. Willingness to spend in this fashion. All right, my detective work. The reported $47 million due to Brandon Ayuk before April 2025 suggests the 49ers were willing to pay a massive signing bonus and guaranteed option bonus to stretch Ayuk's salary cap hits out further into the future. Willingness to spend in this fashion is how loaded rosters stay loaded. The another thing here, the 49ers, first it was Juszczyk 2017, Garoppolo 2018, Kittle 2020, Williams 2021, Warner 2021, Samuel 2022, Bosa 2023, Ayuk 2024. And I think Kyle Juszczyk re-signed at a portion, at one of those years as well. I think that might have been 2021. Let's see what year Kyle Juszczyk's contract was re-signed. Doing a lot of work here. Sign on 2021. So we'll put Juszczyk in there in 2021 as well. So all those contracts that I just listed, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That is 9 massive contracts awarded by the 49ers in this regime. That's over one, relative to positional size. That's over one per season. This is, we're entering season 8, and this 49ers front office has given out 9 shattering contracts. That's, to me, the number that gives you the full picture on everything. That it is a product of good talent acquisition. Brandon Ayuk was initially acquired as a first-round pick in the 2020 NFL draft. You look at other players like Kyle Juszczyk, he was signed as a free agent. Trent Williams was a trade. They acquired him in a trade in 2021. Fred Warner was acquired in the draft in 2018. Debo Samuel was acquired in the second round of the 2022 draft. Nick Bosa was a first rounder in 2019. Ayuk was a first rounder in 2024. That's talent acquisition right there. It's going to be, there's going to be an element of throwing darts up against the wall in terms of NFL talent acquisition, and that you're not going to hit on every single pick or every single signing or every single trade. But as long as you hit on enough of them, and I don't know what the exact formulaic amount is, but as long as you hit on enough of them and then are willing to financially spend to retain your players and you've got the salary cap guys, to make it fit under the limit, then you're going to build a very robust roster, the strongest roster in the NFL. The next step for the 49ers, obviously, in the short term, it's putting a bow on the Trent Williams contract. But the next step for the 49ers is to turn around with the best roster in football. And that's only been strengthened right now with Brandon Ayuk re-signing and returning to practice the next time that he's out here. The next step for San Francisco is going to be to win a Super Bowl. all the pressures on this season. The 49ers faced the pressure throughout this contract negotiation. They didn't want to get worse. I don't think that they really ever wanted to trade Brandon Ayuk. They wanted to get him to come to the table and accept what they had out there. Well, what the 49ers offered at the end of that trade drama is what Brandon Ayuk ultimately accepted. So they had to go through a tough, hard-nosed negotiating process to get to this spot. I guess Ryan Williams just tweeted. We have to see what he said. Going to check in from Mike. Ryan Williams, Brandon Ayuk's agent, said that Brandon Ayuk accepted the same deal that has been on the table since August 10th, but Ryan Williams said that's factually inaccurate, but the check still cashes. So apparently Ryan Williams, of course, Ryan Williams is going to, that's Brandon Ayuk's agent. He's, if he feels that something changed with the deal between August 10th and now, he is going to want to go out there and make sure that that's known. He doesn't want to make it look like Brandon Ayuk capitulated here. We're probably going to get two versions of this story. We're probably going to get one version from the 49ers side, and I'm guessing that's the information that Adam Schefter got. The 49ers want to say, yeah, he just took the same deal we put out there. We didn't cave. But, you know, both sides might be correct. It might have just been nominal changes that happened over the course of the past 19 days or so. And Ryan Williams, Brandon Ayuk's agent, wants people to know that some changes were made over that course of time. Anyway, I've got more important tweets to send. We're going to find out the truth. We're going to get to the bottom of that over the course of the next few days, I'm sure. But the 49ers have now awarded 9 massive contracts that have either set new positional highs or come very how do I word this? Because Ayuk's not a positional high, or come close, or come into the upper reaches. I don't know how to say this, because out of these contracts here, let me put it this way. Maybe you guys can help me. Juszczyk 2017, Garoppolo 2018, Kittle 2020, Williams 2021, Juszczyk 2021, Warner 2021, Samuel 2022, Bosa 2023, and Ayuk 2024. That's 9 contracts. All of those were records for their respective positions, except for Ayuk 2024 and Samuel 2022. So what's the commonality there? The 2 contracts for receivers. Those are the 2 contracts that were not at the top of the market. Isn't that interesting right there? So we could see where the 49ers are willing to spend 100% all the way to the very top of the market, and that's been at fullback, it's been at quarterback, it's been at tight end, it's been at left tackle, it's been at linebacker, and it's been at defensive end, edge rusher for Nick Bosa. They haven't been able to spend fully to the top of the market at wide receiver. Although they've gotten fairly close with Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, they weren't going to go all the way to Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb type money in those deals. So, you know, one thing that seems to signify to me is that strength in numbers is really important to the 49ers offense. It's not just about one target. It's about the whole team. It's about the full offensive apparatus. And when they paid Deebo Samuel, they probably knew, okay, well, we need to make sure we leave some left over for Brandon Ayuk. So that, to me, that's a fascinating duality for the 49ers there, is that they've gone top of the market for 7 of the 9 contracts, and they've gone near the top but not quite at the top, not enough to break the bank for the other 2, for Deebo Samuel and for Brandon Ayuk in 2024. So I got to word this on Twitter. So the 49ers have now awarded 9 big contracts since Shanahan and Lynch took over, if we're judging relative to position. All have ranked number 1 at their respective positions, except the two wide receiver contract, except for the two wide receiver deals. That's the way to put it. 49ers have now awarded 9 big contracts this regime, if we're judging relative to position. All have ranked number one at their respective positions except the two wide receiver deals. Boom. On fire. Love it. Okay, Mike, do you have anything more for me? Yeah, Ryan Williams says that the Schefter tweet's inaccurate. You know, I still think the same general timeline applies in this case. July 31st, well, let me go back a little bit further. Let's take you through this entire saga. Let's summarize this. Let's make you feel like this journey has finally reached its conclusion and give you, you know, the run through that. And here, Mike has a good point. I always tweet this after one of these contracts. Every single homegrown star that has been drafted in the Shanahan Lynch era has been paid by the football team. The only guy that they traded was DeForest Buckner, and he was not drafted by Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, which is why I thought that this was going to get done a long time ago. Back in April, when I was hearing that it was really close, I was like, okay, they just need to, you know, basically iron out some paperwork and everything is going to be set. I think Brandon Ayuk was almost on his way to sign his contract in late April, but then the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal hit. When that Amon-Ra St. Brown deal hit, it was like, hey, hold up, I'm going to need a little bit more money. And you know, the 49ers and Ayuk went back to the negotiating table, but the 49ers had a very, very limited ability to offer more because the fact that they have so many other highly paid stars. So they were firm in their stance. They had to negotiate this as hard as possible. They had to realize that Ayuk was still under contract and they had the leverage. In early June, Justin Jefferson signed a contract worth $88.7 million fully guaranteed. We're talking about potentially $47 million fully guaranteed for Brandon Ayuk in this contract. Well, because of that, because of the fact that Justin Jefferson just stretched the market. I mean, the fully guaranteed amount that he signed for was 69% higher than the previous high from Tyreek Hill. So because of that massive, massive inflation at the top of the fully guaranteed list in wide receiver money, we had what I call negotiation polarization set in. Brandon Ayuk might not have been gunning for Justin Jefferson money, but Justin Jefferson's gravitational weight pulling the entire receiver market so far up at that $88.7 million fully guaranteed created expectations, inflated expectations from the receivers who had yet to be signed, like Brandon Ayuk. So the 49ers and Ayuk were far apart. They had a meeting about a week before training camp to try to come onto the same page. Obviously, that meeting was not all too productive. So Ayuk showed up at training camp, and I think he might have annoyed Kyle Shanahan in doing so because he wasn't out of sight, out of mind. When you have, you know, when you have somebody like Trent Williams holding out, you can kind of compartmentalize if you're Kyle Shanahan. He wasn't able to compartmentalize with Brandon Ayuk. He was in all the meetings. He'd go onto the field. Sometimes we saw a handshake and a bro hug. I'm obviously getting to that date on July 31st, but he wasn't out of sight, out of mind, and he was taking up a roster spot, which wasn't as big of a deal early on because it was a 90-man roster spot. Then came handshake and hug gate, and I think that this marked a significant inflection point. That happened on July 31st. Brandon Ayuk went onto the field. He shook hands with John Lynch. He hugged Kyle Shanahan in front of all the cameras, even though no progress had been made on a contract. And I think that when that went viral on the internet, it became very apparent to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, if it hadn't been apparent before, that this was a distracting situation, that they didn't really want to deal with having to worry about whether or not there was a video of them talking to Brandon Ayuk or hugging Brandon Ayuk on the sideline. It became a sideshow for the 49ers. So it's no coincidence that right around that time, the trade frenzy started. And in retrospect, I think we can say that the 49ers called Brandon Ayuk's bluff because he requested a trade before the start of training camp. So the 49ers said, fine, here's your trade. Cleveland Browns, New England Patriots. They're offering $32 million a year in New England. With Cleveland, we can get a second-round pick, a fifth-round pick, and Amari Cooper back in return. And the 49ers were, I think, okay with doing that trade. Obviously, they agreed in principle to that trade with the Cleveland Browns. But Ayuk said, no, I don't want to go to a bad team. Ayuk said, I'd rather stay with the 49ers. I veto that trade. I'm not going to sign a new contract, so that trade cannot happen. So in that way, the 49ers essentially called Ayuk's bluff right around August 8th or August 9th. That cooled the trade frenzy rumor, and it made it seem likely that Brandon Ayuk would be back with the 49ers. But they still had to reach an agreement. So despite the fact that the 49ers, made Brandon Ayuk, it didn't make Brandon Ayuk look good. Let's put it that way. They called his bluff. They said, okay, fine. It seems that you're just, using this trade request as leverage to get more money from us. They called his bluff. They said, you can come to our offer whenever you want to. I guess Adam Schefter just changed the date of his tweet. He changed it to August 12th. So I guess on August 12th, the 49ers sweetened the pot just a little bit. That was right after all that trade drama. August 12th was Monday after the game against the Tennessee Titans to open the preseason. About, 2.5 weeks later, Brandon Ayuk finally came to the table and signed the deal that the 49ers had put in front of him on August 12th. And that was the timeline. August 28th obviously was a huge day in that timeline as well, because on August 28th, the 49ers put their foot down and said that we're not handling this hold-in stuff anymore. So the summary is that the 49ers played hardball, and hardball worked in this case. We are now going to see the contract details. I'm waiting for those to come out. Probably going to take a couple days. But when the contract details do come out, I'm going to be able to analyze how all of this fits within the Tetris game of the salary cap for the San Francisco 49ers. And that's going to be all very, very significant. Because the 49ers had not budged in about 2.5 weeks, my gut feeling and my intelligent reaction to this is that they won this negotiation. Because if they had lost this negotiation, it would have been like Nick Bosa's negotiation, where it's the 49ers who had the budge at the last minute before the start of the regular season. Consider this. It wasn't until this day, last year, next week, that Nick Bosa signed. So after all that drama, Brandon Ayuk signed before Nick Bosa. 4 years, $120 million, $47 million before April 1st, 2025. 49ers win the standoff with Brandon Ayuk. They don't blink. Now, we'll have confirmation of that when we see the when we see all the final details. But I do have to say that Brandon Ayuk wins, too. He signs a deal that's going to make him very, very wealthy. He's going to get $47 million before April 1st. So even though the 49ers probably have the upper hand in terms of the salary cap situation here, and in terms of, okay, this guy's not going to be paid as a top three receiver in the league. It'll probably be more like top four or top five. Even though the 49ers win on the important front of taking care of the rest of the team and making sure they stay sustainable for Brock Purdy in the future, coming off of the Nick Bosa deal, I think that contracts are signed when both parties are happy. And Brandon Ayuk didn't want to play at $14.1 million. He wanted to secure his future now. He has secured his future now. And that way, Brandon Ayuk has scored a major victory for himself. And the 49ers, I think it's going to become clear that they've also scored a victory. And whenever you have that, whenever you have both sides thinking that they've claimed a significant victory, you shake hands, you call it a deal, you put pen to paper, and that's what the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk have done. The ninth massive contract that the Shanahan Lynch regime has given out. You know who's next? Trent Williams. And as soon as that domino falls, and that domino will fall, the 49ers will find a way to get Trent Williams back in camp on what they hope to be another win-win proposition. You could look back to the Christian McCaffrey deal for that. As soon as that happens, the 49ers will have the roster in place to go chase a Super Bowl. The 49ers had the number one offense in the league already last year. They're set to be even better this season because Ayuk is on this team. Deebo Samuel is on this team. They even have Ricky Pearsall now on top of Kittle, Juszczyk, Jennings, who was also re-signed this offseason. This is a big victory for the 49ers. It's a big victory for Brandon Ayuk. Business was done. Business 101. I'm about to head up 101. we'll call it business 101 for today, as I head from Santa Clara back out to San Francisco. And we'll give you guys the walkthrough here. I gave one yesterday. It's only right that I do one today with 3,000 people watching. There's Navarro Bowman, now the linebackers coach of the Chargers, celebrating. I'm going to rotate this around. We're in the club level of Levi Stadium. So we have Bowman, Kezar Stadium, Golden Gate Park. Maybe I do a show from there again at some point. There's Tom Rathman in front of the writing on the wall. Be a man. Joe Montana. I will not be out hit anytime this season. Bryant Young, Steve Young. There's the old Orange Bowl in Miami. Really cool stuff, right? There's Justin Smith. Mike, what do you mean? Mike said that it feels like there's a lot of animosity right now. What's going on? I have to get on the Twitter machine, or the X machine, as they now call it, to know what they're talking about. But, you know, maybe we should finish here. I will not be out hit anytime this season, says Joe Montana. We'll talk to you guys soon.